Welcome back to another episode of Let's Remake a Movie. Prepare to have your mind blown by horrendous plot lines, unforgivable mashups, and so many explosions. Podcast not sponsored by Michael Bay. Suit up, strap in, and let's remake a movie.
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, directed by Quentin Tarantino. All right, so who are Charlie and Grandpa Joe?
Sam Jackson and
John Travolta. Oh, man, which one's Grandpa Joe?
Oh, that's got to be Sam Jackson.
Yeah.
I was going to say that, too. Motherfucker.
There's got to be copious amounts of swearing. Just like, just at least 100 F-bombs in this entire thing.
I've got a golden ticket, motherfucker.
So we got some F-bombs. What's the factory? Because like I suggested, instead of a chocolate factory, it's they make $5 shakes. Like the $5 shakes in Pulp Fiction. But like maybe they also make Royale with cheese and some other Quentin Tarantino-related foods.
It's like sort of a... It's a very famous, like, greasy spoon kind of thing where they make those very bloody steaks, the Royale with cheese, and the $5 milkshakes.
Okay, yeah. So it's all the Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, so you've got, you know, you've got, like, the fried chicken room, the milkshake room, all that kind of thing.
Okay, yeah. Also, how many creepy foot fetish shots are we including in this movie?
I think each introduction begins with a foot shot. Doesn't matter the sex, age, race, anything like that.
So we're going to have a John Travolta foot shot?
I'm sure John Travolta has very nice feet.
I'm not commenting either way.
Somebody look it up on wikifeet.com.
Well, that's a good point. I'm doing that now.
Wait, there's an actual thing called wikifeet.com?
I am more than willing to sacrifice my search history for this.
I'm sure your search history has seen much worse, Sean. But okay, so
Connor Finnerty.
Oh, two of the feet of the day belong to James Blunt. That's kind of nice.
Feet of the day. Oh my god, this is cruel. Although it's probably Quentin Tarantino's favorite website, wikifeet.com.
How does Nick Cage not have one?
I don't know. I don't know, Josh. Not everybody is obsessed with Nick Cage as you.
That is true.
You basically, it's like 12-year-old girls in One Direction and you and Nick Cage are basically the same. It's just the same level of obsession.
Mine's probably more.
I am not seeing any of his feet here. He does not come up as an option.
All right. So we don't know what John Travolta's feet are, but we're still going to...
Well, we can sort by shoe size, and I want to see who has size 15 feet.
Oh, mother of God. Okay. So we're giving everybody a foot introduction. So Vincent, John Travolta, and Jules Sam Jackson are Charlie and Grandpa Joe. And instead of like living in the crappy house that the Bucket family lives in, they should have a... Because they're both employed by Marcellus Wallace. And Marcellus Wallace should have all of his hitmen live in a crappy house. And that's where they live.
To be clear, what does he look like?
He looks like a bitch. Or does he look like a bitch? Damn it.
I'm told he's bald and he's black.
Mm-hmm. Does he look like a bitch?
Wait, so who's Willy Wonka then, if not Marcellus Wallace?
I was thinking it'd be Quentin Tarantino.
So if that's the case, instead of tickets and chocolate, what is he hiding or, you know, in chocolate? Or is he hiding anything?
So I think because Quentin Tarantino always likes to put a twist on... You know, some of the modern fears that we have. One of the fears I always had growing up was that somebody would put a razor blade in my candy at Halloween. So to that end, I think it's Hattori Hanzo razor blades. That are also gold.
Oh, no. Also, what about the brief?
Better yet, you just open the Wonka bar and it cuts to a shot of the person's face as if they just opened the briefcase.
Ooh, okay.
With shining on them.
We don't even see what's in the Wonka bar. Maybe what if one of the Wonka bars has Marcellus Wallace's soul in it? Like the briefcase supposedly did in Pulp Fiction.
Ooh, there's a thought.
Maybe that's what they win.
You know, maybe Marcellus Wallace orders all of his hitmen to try and get a golden ticket because his soul is in the factory.
That's where it is, because Quentin Tarantino has his soul.
Right, because he's the director and the star. Mm-hmm. So the hitmen are poor, and then they get the golden ticket. So then, like, we're skipping over, like, the first third of this movie in a very quick amount of time, but the first part of Willy Wonka sucks.
And being that it's Quentin Tarantino, there's every real possibility it will be divided into more than one movie.
Or be told in multiple flashbacks.
Yes, flashbacks. There should be lots of, instead of the musical numbers, there should be lots of 70s rock songs like Stuck in the Middle with You, Jungle Boogie, Son of a Preacher Man. Little Green Bag. Yeah. You never can tell from the twist scene in Pulp Fiction. So yeah, they have that instead of like the Candyman can and that kind of stuff. Does Quentin Tarantino have a, because Quentin Tarantino, who's the Willy Wonka, does he have a rival like Willy Wonka does in the movie?
I think it would have to be like the most, you know, sort of contrived director. And obviously he has feuded with a few directors over time for, you know, basically creating art that he thinks is subpar, you know, basically is solely for, you know, the gain of capital. You know, for instance, he called Steven Spielberg a hack, and he referred to him as a failure after he saw War of the Worlds. So to that end, I think the epitome of the anti-Quentin Tarantino has to be Michael Bay.
I was going to say him too.
Oh, Michael, but yeah. It's just like...
the motherfucking money!
The Bayman can. The Bayman can. Who can take explosion? Who can take explosion? Make it last 2 hours. Make it last 2 hours.
I think Connor found his next song.
You know?
Zoom in on Megan Fox when she's waiting in the shower.
Like the Bayman can. The Bayman can. All right.
So who are the other contestants then? So
we got to figure that
we've
out.
We've got
the original Violet Beauregard, Veruca Salt, who's the spoiled brat, Mike TV, who's just watches TV all the time. Great name, Roll Doll, however the hell you pronounce her name. And Augustus Gloop, who's just a big fat dude.
I think we should have Ben Stiller playing his character from Dodgeball, but when he's not, when he's super fat as Augustus Gloop.
He's not in a Quentin Tarantino movie. Come on, Josh.
What about Leonardo DiCaprio in a fat suit?
Like as his dude from the end of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
But just he got really fat.
Wait, so if we did Leonardo DiCaprio and we replace him with Augustus Gloop, instead of like constantly chocolate and things that he wants, maybe he's just vying for the people's love, appreciation, attention, and an Oscar. And so that's what he's constantly griping after.
Listen, Laura, he's Rick fucking Dalton. He wants an Oscar. Let's roll with it. Yeah, he's Rick fucking Dalton, and he wants to win this factory so we can finally get the love that he didn't get in his acting career when he just did crappy westerns mm-hmm. in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
And then he does, like, you know, 5 Oscar worthies back to back, and it's like, Leo, save some room for later. Like,
what was that? That was a pretty good impression of Augustus Gloop's mother.
I think that's a compliment.
However, I would say that if we are going strictly for the German, there's a very clear German character that I think could go along with Leo DiCaprio.
Is it the Jew Hunter?
Are you talking about Inglourious Basterds?
I'm talking
Bastards?
About Colonel Hans Landa.
Oh, good choice.
Oh, okay.
So we're getting like all the mix of Tarantino. Okay, that's a good choice.
Okay, so Leonardo DiCaprio plays Mike TV, hence the TV constantly into Hollywood and acting and roles.
Yeah.
And Augustus Gloop is played by Lanza, yeah? Because Mike TV is, yeah, obsessed with TV, so.
Yeah, because it would make sense that Leo is Mike TV because he was just obsessed, just watching movies and TV the entire time.
And I would say that that going along with that, Leo also plays Mike TV's mother, in this case father, but as his character from Django Unchained, just because he's that good and he can play two different characters in the same scene at the same time in the same movie.
So he's playing a man and his father at the same time?
Yes.
That seems difficult.
If there's an actor who can do it, it's Tyler Perry. And if there's an actor who can come close, it's Leo DiCaprio.
Sean, you have said in the past that Tyler Perry is your favorite actor. It's Tyler Perry, then Laurence Olivier, then Leo.
You got me.
All right. So who are the female characters? Because Quentin Tarantino, he mostly just has Uma Thurman play female characters. So who are we getting to play Violet Beauregard and Veruca Salt? I was thinking Mia Wallace from Pulp Fiction is Violet Beauregard because they're both kind of sassy.
I could see that. I could also see Vivica Fox from Kill Bill.
Ooh, okay. So I would be good with either of those. Mia Wallace is a bigger character in Pulp Fiction, but I like both. Oh, and we need to have Veruca Salt, who's a spoiled brat.
It has to be somebody with more money than character.
Yeah, who's a stupid rich person in a Tarantino movie?
David Carradine.
Oh, that's a good choice.
Yeah, he like walked on screen with all the swagger and a couple of like really prolific lines and stuff, but like, and then he played flute in the backyard and got like punched in the heart. Like, what was his fucking purpose?
Yeah, that was very random. It was extremely random.
Oh, you know who you could go with? Daryl Hannah's character in Kill Bill with the one eye.
Oh, okay. Mm. You know what? This thing, I always...
Because she's a creature of pure rage.
Let's go with the one-eyed girl. This thing needs a one-eyed girl. Yeah, I've been thinking that from the beginning.
Yeah, L Driver.
All right, so we got our fivesome, and so we got our whole crew there. And then they get and there's a big golden ticket to go into the factory. And then how do they meet Quentin Tarantino, the head of the factory?
I think it's basically there are some jump cuts scored by the RZA. And it's sort of like he's just there. You know, the doors open, then we see, you know, boom, close up on his face. Boom, close up on the kid's reaction. Boom, close up on his feet. Boom, suddenly he's in front of the kids.
Nice. There we go. You know what? We need to have it. Yeah, we need to have that. We need to have, like, that kind of, like, Quentin Tarantino style, like, jump cut instead of, like, the usual, like, you know, just kind of, like, musical transition. Number stuff. Oh, yeah, transition. Thank you.
There should be a jump cut where he's like mid roll, like, you know, yes. Willy Wonka does. Yeah, but he's like mid roll, and then it immediately jump cuts back to the kids.
Yeah, and it's very clearly just a still shot. Like, he can't actually do it, so they're covering it up.
And then when they do the red carpet premiere of the actual movie, and somebody asked him, "Is like, hey, did you have to do that? Did you have to edit it so it made it look like you could actually do the role?" And he just like yells out and punches the reporter.
I said everything I have to say about that.
Yes, I was able to do that role. They call me the Fred Astaire of my generation.
He would compare himself to Fred Astaire,
wouldn't he? He's probably compared himself. Yeah, I mean he's also compared. He probably compares himself to, you know, David Lean and Scorsese. But okay, so. They get into the factory. And what's the first big thing that happens in the factory? They go in just like the big room with the chocolate river, right?
Yeah, first they sign their contract.
No, they have to sign the contract. Right, they do have to sign the
contract. Oh, by the way, I know how John Travolta and Sam Jackson break the contract, but we'll get to that later.
All right, so first they have to sign the contracts, which...
And then they go to the lickable wallpaper.
Yes, lickable wallpaper.
Perfect.
So what's... Should we change the wallpaper to anything?
Cocaine. just it jumps right to an 11 in a Tarantino movie. Just right to an 11.
You know what? You might
it's all different drug flavors.
Just the guy.
The Percocets taste like happy.
The cocaine smells like lilacs.
The heroin smells like Led Zeppelin.
I feel like the cocaine could still be called schnozberry.
You might as well.
And fun fact for you, Roald Dahl used schnozberries one other time in his writings, and it was to refer to a penis. So he's literally telling the kids to lick the dick-flavored wallpaper.
This is a seriously disturbed individual. I mean, we're coming up
with... I'm going to pretend... that is some kind of a like subtle message about corporate America and our dependence upon them or something, and choose not to believe the author.
Laura, I think you need to go to a therapist after this. Maybe we all need to.
I have an appointment tomorrow.
This is a little rough.
Oh, well, the timing couldn't be better.
Big shout out to Sativa. Hi, Sativa. yes, that's her real name.
Lovely.
After they lick the wallpaper and
which is really blotter paper,
some kind of a drug high. Yeah, right. They sign the contract, which is nothing but a waiver that everybody in the factory promises not to sue Quentin Tarantino for copyright infringement and like pain.
Yes. Yeah. Basically, if you get injured on the set of my movie / factory, you can't sue me.
You're out. You're out. That's how you lose. You get injured. You're out.
Yeah, basically.
So, and then they go to that little room, that hallway that gets like smaller and smaller and smaller. But in reality, that's just everybody's drugs kicking.
Yeah.
yeah.
Like one of the songs, like as the song from Pulp Fiction, as Travolta, after he just shot up and is driving down the highway, as that plays.
And then you've got the big room with all of the stuff.
Yeah, the big room, and like they should have like Jungle Boogie play as they go in and see the
Jungle Boogie.
So they that replaces Pure Imagination. It's just them going in and eating all of the $5 shakes and Royale with cheese and the bloody steak and et cetera, et cetera. So
can we have a scene where Augustus jumps into the chocolate fountain and then Willy Wonka or then Tarantino just like, wait, that's the septic tank.
that was from Scary Movie.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Oh shoot, that's right. That is, you're right.
You're copying their jokes, Josh. Gosh,
I didn't even remember that.
Could it be a river of chocolate or like a river of chocolate shake? Like or would it be just like a river of fake theater blood, because that's what he uses throughout all real of blood. His movies.
Oh, and, well, it could also blood. Be because he's such a a Hitchcock fanboy. It could be a river of Bosco syrup, because that's what Hitchcock used for blood.
Because it showed up better on film, a black and white movie. Yeah,
maybe let's go with the Hitchcock blood, but it looks like it's
Hitchcock.
It looks like it's a $5 shake.
And anytime anybody tries to take a picture of it, he yells at them to make sure they're taking it in black and white celluloid, because that's how it's supposed to like look the purest.
Yes, that's true. He would be very particular about how everybody's taking pictures of it.
We are forgetting one essential character in all of this.
Ah, yes, indeed.
Is it the Oompa Loompas?
Who are the Oompa Loompas?
Okay,
yeah.
I suggested the crazy 88s from Kill Bill, who are like the big minions that Uma Thurman gets in the sword fight with.
Yeah.
So
with their leader being Michael Madsen, because he's in every freaking Quentin Tarantino movie.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So he also turned down the role in John Travolta's role in Pulp Fiction to star in Wyatt Earp. That was a terrible decision.
God, why?
He couldn't get out of the contract. That's why.
So we've got Michael Madsen and the crazy 88s as the Oompa Loompas.
Yes, that's right. Michael Madsen's kind of the leader of the Oompa Loompas. So basically there's a bunch of like women with swords walking around this factory as they go and try the chocolate and $5 shakes.
Well, yeah, they run like the carving stations.
Oh, for the meat. That's perfect.
And so just as everyone's enjoying this vast array of Tarantino snacks, we have poor Augustus Gloop, which I think we decided was the German. Yes.
So I don't feel bad for him.
And so he goes over to the river and he starts taking pictures of it, not in black and white, not in celluloid. And he like tries to lean down to get a better angle or something. And he accidentally falls in, and that has, you know, ruined Tarantino's shot and ambiance of the entire room. And so the crazy 88s go all crazy on him. And now the only thing I would submit to this mashup is every time the Oompa Loompas attack and take somebody away and then sing their song or whatever it is they do, they have to do it in the true anime style that you're seeing in Kill Bill.
Oh, okay. I like that.
Yeah.
So it cuts away. Oh yeah, with like lots of like extravagant lighting and stuff.
Yeah, because remember in the first Willy Wonka, the real Willy Wonka, as in the one with Gene Wilder, not the trashy one with Johnny Depp.
Wait, when Laura, there's no Johnny Depp Willy Wonka. There's no Indiana Jones 4. Like correct. We've been over this. I've been to therapy about this.
Thank God I landed in this multiverse. Okay, that's all I have.
Really,
to say.
This multiverse?
Yeah, I was gonna say this multiverse sucks right now.
Well, if you would allow Indiana Jones to be in existence, maybe we wouldn't have all of these problems in the world. Maybe that's the freaking linchpin. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. But yeah, I think that it should cut away and have like the fast action, true anime style that he likes every time the Oompa Loompas take somebody away. Or the crazy 88s.
Oh, okay. So there's
the Oompa 8s.
The Oompa 8s are taking away the Juhanta. In the anime, in the cutaway anime style, as the do 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 song plays. That sounds badass. And then, of course,
yeah, it does.
And then, of course, that replaces the Oompa Loompa song, which we can admit is kind of weird. Yeah, and they just use the same song every time. I'm going to say it's lazy. I'm just going to go out there and say it's lazy.
I'm going to say it's Nightmare Fuel, or is that the boat ride? That's Nightmare Fuel. That's
next. Oh, the boat ride is Nightmare Fuel, and we also have to...
You mean 2020?
2020 is literally the creepy boat ride from Willy Wonka. So, okay, let's talk about that Nightmare Boat Ride. I think they literally call it like the something of terror, like the Tunnel of Terror. So what happens in that? Because in the real one, like, you should have... I think what would be great for that is, like, all the terrible things in Quentin Tarantino movies, like the creepy foot shots and his cameo as the Australian guy from Django Unchained. Just those on a loop.
That's all it is. It's foot shots and his cameos on a loop. And he's just telling you over and over again, instead of some creepy Willy Wonka song he's singing on the boat, it's Quentin Tarantino talking about his process really, really loud.
it's all of his cameos except as his cameo in Reservoir Dogs, because that's the best one. So we don't get that one.
He just gets really angry at everybody and says, "You should have seen the one I had to leave on the cutting room floor. So this is what I was gonna do with it. It was gonna start with a quick pan to this guy," and that's all he does on the boat ride. And
that was
the drugs are wearing off.
And Vincent Vega, John Travolta, turns over to Sam Jackson, just like, "What the hell is he talking about, man? I don't know what the hell's going on."
And at that point, he accidentally shoots boat driver Marvin in the face.
Oh, that's right. And you know what happens with that is, like, because the boat and the factory, like, it has to, like, Quentin Tarantino has to stop the boat and clean everything.
And
John Travolta is baffled at why he shot Marvin in the face. But yes, Vincent Vega accidentally shot the boat driver Marvin in the face. It causes a whole brouhaha. Quentin Tarantino is not too happy about it. He has to stop the boat, but they have to press on. And what happens in the original after they... And of course, John Travolta says, "Oh man, I shot Marvin in the face." And Sam Jackson goes, "Why the fuck do you do that?" We keep that in. But what happens after the tunnel boat ride?
They get to the research room where ultimately they're able to make the candy that tastes like a 3-course meal that turns Violet Beauregard into a blueberry.
Okay,
and
so
don't forget the everlasting gobs.
Indeed. Okay, so Violet is Mia Wallace, Uma Thurman in Pulp Fiction. So what are we have? So what are we having with this? Is it instead maybe
it's the purest cocaine known to man, and she takes a big noseful and collapses. So they shoot her up with the EpiPen.
Needle to the heart.
The adrenaline shot. Yeah.
Okay, so we're going full Tarantino with this. You know what? Why not?
It's a Tarantino movie.
That's absolutely. Look, listen, you're absolutely right, and we're pulling no punches. Nor should we. Mia Wallace is dunzo. Marcellus Wallace is taking her back to the house. Marcellus Wallace also got her to get a golden ticket because he wants to have multiple horses in this race. You know.
Well, yeah, that's what happened to Violet, right?
Yeah.
She was the spoiled one. No, that was the other one. That was Veruca Salt. She was the spoiled one who got everything she wanted.
Yeah, Veruca Salt sucks.
Violet's also kind of a brat, though.
Yeah. All the kids suck except for Charlie. That's such a lazy move. You know.
It's a children's book from the 50s.
Fair enough. You know, yeah, they're not going to have nuance.
So instead of being obsessed with chewing gum, she's just obsessed with snorting coke, and that's how she gets too juiced up and has to get rolled away.
I mean, isn't that what Quentin Tarantino would do? Wouldn't he replace gum with coke?
Definitely. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Or like heroin, or just pure, which I think is what she actually accidentally snorts.
Yes.
Side note, this may get us on a tangent, but Quentin Tarantino directing the Joe Exotic movie starring Nick Cage.
I don't think the world is ready.
I think it's what 2020 needs, Laura. I think it's what 2020.
I think that's
needs.
Exactly yeah. What would tear a hole in the space time.
I think that's what breaks the seventh seal.
we need it to end the world.
Yeah, like, that breaks the seventh seal. Mm-hmm,
like the world
it.
Comes apart as Cage is just in this epic freak out, and Tarantino's just like, "Listen, we need to get a little bit more. Can you take a little bit more?"
Jesus Christ.
Yes, Quentin Tarantino ends the world with Nick Cage. Okay, but anyway, so Mia Wallace, Uma Thurman has just been taken out because of her cocaine gum stuff. What happened? Is it the bubble room that's next?
So after that...
don't forget, what about the gobstopper? Like, he offers them each a thing, right, that they promise not to give?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe
right,
he
yeah.
gives each of them, like, a key or, like, a combination to open... the briefcase or something, but they have to promise, or like the location of it, but they have to promise not to.
They each get one digit of it.
Oh, that's, yeah, right. That's right. Yeah, they get one digit of to open the briefcase. I like that. Let's go. Let's roll with that. I think who's next to go down? Is it Veruca Salt?
Veruca, yeah.
Yeah, and Veruca Salt is Daryl Hannah from Kill Bill.
Yes.
So how did Veruca Salt? She's just a spoiled asshole.
Yep. She sings a song about wanting it now, and then when she does so, she gets on the egg weighing machine, and it's determined that she's a bad egg, so she goes down the garbage chute.
They really aren't subtle with these things.
No, nope.
I mean, she lives in the book.
She's not going to live in the book.
Yeah, like, no, she's not. I mean, she doesn't. I don't think she lives in the original movie, and she's certainly not living in our movie.
Well, they just don't really say what happens afterwards.
Yeah, this Willy Wonka is legit a psychopath. Let's call it what it is. So, like, it's.
I mean, how many OSHA violations can one factory have?
I think.
Come with me, and you'll be. In a world of OSHA violations.
OSHA violations.
I think that might be better than my Michael Bay song.
I can't take credit for that. I think I saw that one on the internet at some point.
Okay. I mean, that's better than you looking up celebrities' feet on
Is
the internet.
Is it better?
Yeah. I mean, memes versus feet pics.
I would take memes.
Although one makes you popular, the other makes you money.
Oh my god.
Laura again pondering why she has us as friends.
I don't know. When the FBI come banging down your door, some they just pretend you don't know me. It's fine.
Who am I gonna say is my lawyer?
Well, Sean, we agreed I got to claim her as my lawyer. She can't cover all of us.
Now,
right, because every lawyer only has one client.
Yeah, oh, that's right, yeah.
That is a little known secret that every client keeps against their lawyer, that they must be the only one. It's the same thing that I told all my ex-boyfriends, too. You're the only one.
Oh.
All right, so Veruca Salt is about to become a bad egg. So what happened?
She was born a bad egg.
Okay, well, but she's about to be... Bum-bum. Laura will be here all week. Try the veal. Okay, so she's about Veruca Salt's about to be put on the scale. What's happening to Daryl Hannah from Kill Bill that gets her meet her untimely death?
In the movie itself, it's the bride rips out her other eye, and so she's kind of left thrashing around in a trailer where there's a black mamba in it. So,
oh, okay, so the crazy 88s are still working the factory. What if the crazy 88s got into a fight with Daryl Hannah because she wanted to get one of the secrets, and she actually wanted to get like the whole secret code but then the crazy 88s got into a fight with her, and then she lost her other eye. Like, she doesn't kill Bill.
Sounds good to me. And then subsequently, you know, just along through the fight, she does get her ear cut off.
Oh, Reservoir Dogs. Duh.
Yes.
Yeah. And the one who does it is the leader of the Crazy 88s, Michael Madsen, and does it as Stuck in the Middle with You plays.
Exactly.
There we go.
And here's the thing. So, you know, obviously what you see, even in the credit sequence when we're supposed to see everybody else dead, we still see Daryl Hannah thrashing around in that trailer, with the implication being that eventually she's going to come across the snake and it's going to kill her because she's being, you know, she's freaking out. So to shut her up, the bear Jew comes out and cracks her over the head with the baseball bat.
Oh, God. Oh, God. This is getting depraved. Or getting depraved. What am I talking about?
It's a Quentin Tarantino movie.
This is true. This, you know, it's supposed to be depraved. I'm trying to think. What's his, like, most well-adjusted movie he's ever made? Once Upon a Time in Hollywood? And even that's got a flamethrower at the end.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I feel like Tarantino did a semi-com one once. I don't know what it was, but
which one was it?
Reservoir Dogs is pretty, like, you know, comparatively, you know, it's pretty straightforward in terms of being more of a suspense film than.
Yeah, it is more of a suspense than like a straight up like violence action movie. It's still got ear cutting though. Okay, at this point, when three of the children have been taken away in the factory, Willy Wonka says, like, oh, three naughty children and two very nice children. He kind of, like, says it in a psycho way, but that's also meant to be kind of calm and psycho. Where with this one, when they were going to the next room, Quentin Tarantino should just go, like, full, just go nuts on these people and talk about like how they didn't deserve to be in his factory and be around his genius. And that's why they didn't make it out.
I like that. I like that. And somewhere along the way, we also have to have, you know, I think we've missed this, but we missed the fizzy lifting drinks room.
Oh, that's right. When does that happen? I think
that happens just before we lose Veruca.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so we can go back and do that. So what is the
fizzy lifting? In true Tarantino lifting fashion, we have to do a cutaway to, like, the room, but it's just told out of order.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Just like we're telling it out of order now.
Exactly. And
we did this intentionally, not because we forgot.
Correct.
Okay, so what's the fizzy lifting drink? Oh, could we incorporate Jackrabbit Slim's cigarettes? I mean,
maybe that's what they're smoking.
They smoke Jackrabbit and it makes them fly.
Yeah, that let's go with that. They smoke Jackrabbit Slim's cigarettes, which are the specific brand of cigarettes that are in every Quentin Tarantino movie, and it makes them fly. And John Travolta's just so nonplussed about it. It's just like, oh man, I'm flying because we smoke some cigarettes. It's like,
no, Miguel. No, Miguel.
It's like, what the fuck is happening, Vincent? I'm flying. I'm motherfucking flying.
I'm flying up in the air, man.
Yeah, get out the fuck down, Vincent. Get your ass down here. It's just like, I'm get these motherfucking cigarettes out of my motherfucking hand. We had to, I know it sticks on a plane and we didn't direct that, but we had to quote it somehow.
But wait, these guys don't see them smoke the cigarettes, because the whole reason why he didn't get automatically disqualified and get like Oompa Loompa carried off the stage is because he did it behind everybody's back, right?
Yeah, right. So basically, so they're like, yeah, they smoke the cigarettes and flying, but Quentin Tarantino doesn't notice, we think.
So how do they get down? I got an idea. So is this, it's Sammy Jackson and John Travolta that are flying in the air, right?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. So they're flying in the air, and John Travolta, picture this. I'm going to Tarantino this for you. So picture this. They're flying toward this fan that's just going at a million fucking miles an hour. You got a quick cut to the fan, and it's just revolving. And you can see, as a slow-mo cut, that there's a little bit of blood on every single one of the blades, maybe some hair pieces and some brain matter and some skull remnants, that there has definitely been a skull through that fan sometime in the past 24 hours. What the fuck? And so they're climbing high of it, and Samuel Jackson is telling John Travolta to calm down. He's saying, bitch be cool, and he slaps John Travolta across the face because he's too hysterical, and that's when they start to sink. And then he goes, hit me again, and they just slap each other over and over and over again in the face until they get back to Earth.
That works. I can roll with that.
That is Tarantino.
I was gonna say it was just gonna be divine intervention that got him down, but yours, like God stopped the bullets, but yours is way better. Okay, maybe there is a gunfight at some point, and got like, and
oh,
God,
yeah,
stops
they're
the
they're gonna
bullet.
Have to fight over the suitcase in the end, in the office.
Oh yeah. That's how that. Yeah, we'll get to that. But I feel like there should be a fight rather than the corny like, oh, you gave the gobstopper back. Now I'm giving you my factory, which is the way I make a living.
Yeah, fuck that shit.
We're just destroying everybody's childhood memories of this movie. I love it.
Johnny Depp already did that. You're fine.
But you know what? That's true. Maybe we're taking revenge on Johnny Depp because it's his fault.
That's what we should do. We should make fun of Johnny Depp sometime at one of these mashups.
Well, like I'm trying to think of what we could do for that, but I feel like it should
he's
be
such
done.
A crybaby.
Like Pirates of the Caribbean, but he's actually like just in a pool in Florida or something. We'll have to find something to make fun of him for.
Jack
drunk
Sparrow.
In a pool in Florida.
Jack Sparrow goes on a vacation. Just not even trying.
So
you're not a pirate. You just haven't bathed in 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's it, right?
All right. But anyway, okay.
Oh,
so
we could do Pirates of the Caribbean meet Shutter Island, and they have to convince Jack that he's not really a pirate. But I digress. Sorry. Sidetrack.
Okay, yes, we're getting sidetracked again. So they just got down, and they got down after smacking each other after smoking the Jackrabbit Slim cigarettes, and then they go into the room because it's them and is it Rick Dalton from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood? He's Mike TV. They're the only two left.
Yes.
All right. So how does Mike TV Leo get his untimely demise?
So what we see in the show, or rather in the movie itself, is that he wants to travel by television, and in doing so gets hit with a shrink ray, essentially.
Ah, that's right, yes. So, yeah, what would be the equivalent of that?
Maybe Tarantino has this special, like, gun camera thing that Sean was talking about, and it and he says he's developing it to be an instant Oscar win. So all he has to do is, like,
okay,
film his film with it of whatever he wants to do, and he's guaranteed to make an Oscar win. And so this is his new...
I have an idea. I have an idea. So he jumps in and, like, goes to use the camera and he films, but then it when he films it, it puts him in the room, the movie, The Room. Quentin Tarantino's like, it's only a prototype.
And in doing so, because Quentin Tarantino is a big fan of 33 millimeter film, it accidentally makes him 33 millimeters. And let's see how tall that is. I enter into Google.
But all right, while Sean Googles,
33 millimeters, basically, yeah, that's like
1.299 inches.
Yep, that's about right.
All right, cool. Okay,
so he jumps in front of the camera, hoping to be, you know, win an Oscar on whatever they're filming. He gets stuck in the room and as 33 millimeters.
So basically, so Leo does it to try and win an Oscar because before The Revenant and he, you know, ate raw bison in the winter, he was really desperate for an Oscar. So, yeah, so he, like, Quentin Tarantino is developing this technology that's going to get him an Oscar winning movie automatically. And then Leo jumps in front of it and then he's transported into the room with Tommy Wiseau. And he should have to act it out. He should have to act out The Room.
Should he just become Tommy Wiseau?
Like, no, it should be like it should be Leo being super intense, like in The Departed, but he's reading the lines from The Room. It's like, I did not hit her. I did not hit her. Bullshit. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
Perfect.
Like, I'd watch that. I would absolutely watch that. There's no way in a million years he would do it, but I would watch it.
All right.
So Quentin Tarantino,
so the crazy Leo idiots has, take him away.
The crazy idiots take him away. They can hold him in the palm of their hand, for God's sake. All right, so it's just John Travolta and Sam Jackson who are subbing for Charlie and Grandpa Joe. They're the only ones left. So,
stuck with Quentin Tarantino.
Yep, but yeah, okay. So Quentin Tarantino should take them back to his office, and then they think that they can open the briefcase to Marcellus Wallace's soul, but they can't
because they won.
They won, but they broke the contract. And Sean, here's how they broke the contract. Because Vincent, John Travolta shot Marvin in the face and it messed up the entire factory. And the contract explicitly stated no shooting people in the face who worked for the factory.
And Sam Jackson is the first one to get it. And so he drops the wisdom bomb. And to Adam, he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain, you shall eat it all the days of your life.
That's
pretty good. Yeah. All right. So what happens next? Is this a gunfight? Are they shooting at each other? Okay. So Quentin Tarantino pulls out some guns, and then John Travolta and Sam Jackson pull out their guns. But then the crazy 88s and Michael Madsen have to come in too.
Heck yeah! He like presses a button under his desk, and suddenly every like fake wall of the room turns around, and there's just like secret passages, and people are flying in through windows and busting open doors, and it's about to be an epic battle.
Oh yeah. It's super depraved. It's super and just like really bloody, really intense. And like Miserlou plays on the guitar as they do it. Just like that, because that's the song. Like that song plays as they do it. Oh, it'd be the most intense thing ever.
And then, of
course, they're shooting everything.
Yep. Yes, they're breaking the entire fire factory.
And at one point, Samuel L. Jackson realizes as the bullets are missing him, the same way that he took that as a sign from God in Pulp Fiction, he's realizing that this is also a sign from God. In fact, this has been the lesson that Quentin Tarantino hopes they will learn, because the Bible passage that I cited before, which he cited just now, is Genesis 3:17, and Genesis is the first book of the Bible, and subsequently the code to the briefcase is 1:3:17.
Oh, and that's how they get Marcellus Wallace's soul, because he knows the book combination.
It was all a test.
Oh, okay.
And the moment that they open it, He uses it, the code, he opens it, the golden glow envelops the entire room, pausing the battle because everyone stares in awe for a second, and that's when Tarantino goes, "You've done it," and starts turning into, like, nice guy again.
I was thinking Marcellus's wall of soul melts off everybody's face like Raiders of the Lost Ark. But
what a way to end it. That would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be the end.
Yeah, but the Quentin Tarantino version of Raiders of the Lost Ark, where there's even more blood and
just
crap.
Melts everyone's face. Let's go with that.
And then John Travolta's looking at it, and then Sam Jackson's just like, "Don't look, Vincent. Keep your eyes shut." It's like, oh my God, I can see Marcellus Wallace's soul. It's so beautiful. Oh my God. I like how there's the one like rote impression of John Travolta, but it's just him from Saturday Night Fever. Like, he doesn't even sound like that anymore.
Oh my God.
So are we going with like the happy go lucky ending, or are we going with Raiders of the Lost Ark face melting?
Fuck no, it's Tarantino, Raiders of the Lost Ark ending.
Woo! Nice. Oh,
that
man.
Well known Tarantino pick.
Oh, yeah, by his favorite director, Steven Spielberg. I'm sure they're both thrilled.
In fairness, he would be the guy who says, "I can do it better."
He would do that. I feel like he'd want to copy that scene and make it like.
Oh yeah, it would be like
blood.
It would be like so disturbing that like people have nightmares for days.
Yeah, and like so who survives? Does anybody survive? Is it just Sam Jackson?
I would assume. Would John Travolta survive, or does he not?
Let's have John Travolta survive.
Just until he meets Bruce Willis.
That's not
and then
later.
He steps outside and gets shot.
Can
by
we
Bruce
have
Willis?
Quentin Tarantino's head explode like the movie Scanners? You guys ever see that?
Yes.
Oh man, I mean, it would be just like the main bad guy in Raiders, so that would work.
That is true. Scanners is definitely more graphic, though.
Okay, so we'll have it be like Scanners, where it's just very explicit, like Cronenbergian. Wow, I thought this was going to be depraved. We've really made it depraved. So what's the result of this movie? How much money does it make? How many Oscars does it get nominated for? Is there a crappy remake with Johnny Depp?
So how about what's happening? Every single actor gets an Oscar except for Leonardo DiCaprio.
And he's just so pissed. I like
no bear liver, no Oscar.
I like keeping this meme going, even though he has an Oscar now.
And then we eventually get a remake with Tim Burton and Johnny Depp.
Oh, yeah, even though they'll be like 90 at the time. And they'll just pay for it with their own money.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, man, that remake was bad. He was basically Michael Jackson.
Yes, he was. At a time when it was not cool to be Michael Jackson.
No, like 2005. The shine was off that apple.
I think there'll also be like, not like spin-offs, but... You know how there's the ongoing prevailing theory that all of Quentin Tarantino's movies are in the same universe, and so they're somehow connected?
Yep.
Yeah.
So I think that in subsequent Tarantino movies, people will start seeing like this ominous factory in the background or something, or little kids on the street tearing open chocolate bars to see if they got the golden razor blade. Like.
That's awesome.
Just hidden Easter eggs in the rest of Tarantino's work.
I mean, we combined a bunch of Tarantino movies in this one. Also, is this movie going to make a lot of money?
It could be a cult classic after.
I think it's going to be more of a cult classic than a financial success, but people are going to see it the first couple of weekends because of the huge cast and the fact that it is Quentin Tarantino.
Quentin Tarantino doing Willy Wonka. So, like the
I would
up
see the
version.
Shit out of that movie.
I said, yeah, that's why we decided to do this episode.
Maybe this movie, I don't know, but you know, in general.
I mean, hey, Sean, ours is better than the Johnny Depp one. You
this
gotta
is
admit
true.
That. Yeah. Then again, a root canal is better than the Johnny Depp one.
I gotta look up how much that made.
Now, do we want to have the studio make all the trailers to advertise towards kids, and then?
Or they run screaming from the theaters on opening weekend.
And then the trailer doesn't announce that it's rated R.
Okay, so the budget for Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory with Johnny Depp had a budget of $150 million, and it made $475 million. So we know that that's our
there
baseline.
Is no difference in the world.
We have to beat that.
Well,
we have
I mean...
to beat that.
Okay, yes. Okay. We're not this so we're going to make this cost $200 million? What are we going to like? Are we going to have like a Death Star in the background?
Just a Death Star?
Well, these stars don't come cheap, man.
We have to hire Michael Bay.
Oh yeah. We're hiring Michael Bay just to have him be the candy man. But maybe he wants to maybe any movie he's in, he has to have lots of a minimum amount of explosions.
We can just like pay for all practical effects and then not use any of them and just have to pay for CGI over it.
This is going to be like the most mismanaged movie of all time.
It is also, to be clear, when it comes to finances, that Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, the Gene Wilder version, was not a popular movie when it first came out and sort of gained cult status over the years. In fact, it had a budget, I'm looking now, at $3 million and earned $4.5 million. So
that's a great return. Wow. That's not enough to make money.
And then it's also 1971, so.
Yeah, fair enough. But then it became like super popular. It's I'm not sure how though, because it's really messed up when you think about it.
It's fun though. I mean, it's messed up, but you kind of ignore that much. And also for adjusting for inflation, let's see here. It says that $1 million in 1971 was about $6.4 million. So ultimately that movie made something towards the equivalent of like $25.5 million in today's money, which is really nothing.
It's kind of chump change. Even adjusting.
Also that movies that did not do well in the box office were cheaper for network TV to buy the rights for to show to the people in mass when they would watch TV at night. And so these bad movies get shown on basic cable because they're affordable, and that's what then the next generation grows up adoring because that's what they saw for free on TV when they were kids.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what happened with It's a Wonderful Life, because the rights were so damn cheap. It got broadcast on every network around Christmas time every year. And I think to some extent, I've also heard that, you know, obviously The Wizard of Oz did very well for itself, but the rights itself are pretty cheap to purchase. And so it did get broadcast a lot.
Yeah, which is pretty wild that they were pretty cheap to purchase, considering how popular that movie was.
I think part of it is that it became popular because it was so cheap to purchase and the popularity is a result of that.
So
I have one question. So here's a fun fact that not a lot of people know about Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, the original. Now, ultimately, when that movie came out, Quaker, the company that makes Quaker oats and a currently unnamed pancake syrup, was able to create a Wonka bar to be produced as a promotion alongside of it. However, there was a major malfunction and basically they all melted in transportation. It was quite a kerfuffle. So sort of promotional object would come with this, and what sort of mishap would be associated with it?
Then we have to have a $5 shake, but it's a $5 shake that makes everybody, like all the kids want to drink, but it makes them all so hyper that they never go to sleep.
Accidental real razor blades.
I was going to say, razor blades.
That would be quite a kerfuffle.
That would be an extreme kerfuffle.
We partnered with Nestle and Gillette.
The weirdest branding partnership ever.
You want to know how I got these scars?
Did you have too much chocolate?
Yeah.
We're remaking the Joker too.
My father was a major Quentin Tarantino fan, and we went on opening night to see his version of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And so he gave me a bar of this chocolate in the now infamous partnership between Nestle and Gillette.
Now we're getting you an Oscar. So you as Heath Ledger will be up for an Oscar. And you'll defeat Leonardo DiCaprio and he will be the most and he will just go into the deep, deep depression.
I mean, we do have a lot in common in that, you know, Heath Ledger and I, we both love acting. I too am known to randomly sing Frankie Valli tunes, and we're both dying to play the Joker.
Oh God. Oh, you sick bastard. Well, we did it, y'all. We made Quentin Tarantino's version of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. It's depraved. It's destroying one of your precious childhood memories, but it's much better than the Johnny Depp version. Now, we're going to have an original song to commemorate the episode. Connor, play us out.
Who can take a movie, throw some explosions in, ruin childhood memories for 500 million? The Bayman can. Oh, the Bayman can. The Bayman gives you everything that you don't tell your girlfriend that you really, really want. Who can make Transformers make you wanna die? Give you sexy models for some fun for your eyes. The Bayman can. Oh, the Bayman can. The Bayman gives you everything that you don't tell your girlfriend that you really, really want. The Bayman hurls fireworks and girls on the screen for 3 hours. His blockbusters are never dour, but when they're done, you'll need a shower. Who can make your eyes bleed with orange and teal? Give you Armageddon, that'll make you lose your meal. The Bayman can. Oh, the Bayman can. The Bayman gives you everything that you don't tell your girlfriend that you really, really want. The Bayman. The Bayman. Hey, The Rock was great, but the rest of it was trash. The Bayman.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Let's Remake a Movie. We hope you enjoyed it, and if you want to support us, like, subscribe, and if you're listening on Apple, rate us 5 stars. We're available on all major platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Let's Remake a Movie, and send us your ideas for which movies we should remake next. Thank you so much, and see you next time.